connecting you to top evangelical scholars discussing the important theological issues of our day. This is Converse with Scholars.
And we're going to turn it over to Dr. Habermas, and he's going to do a presentation for about 45 minutes. If you have questions for Dr. Habermas, when he is done, we're going to take about 15 minutes for questions, so have your questions ready. If you have a mic, I'll let you come to the mic and ask them directly. If you want to type them in the text, then I can ask them on your behalf. But I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Habermas. We welcome you and look forward to the presentation. Go ahead, Dr. Habermas.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to try this thing again this week, talking about the discovery, so-called, of Jesus' burial tomb. And as I was saying before we went on the air here, that a lot has happened in the last week since we have even talked about these things. Now, my job for the next 40 or 45 minutes before we go to questions is to kind of have a, I don't know what to call it, a sermon. No, I just say that because I'm supposed to speak straight here and then open it up to some questions. Last week, what we started with was 12 problems with the Jesus tomb controversy. And let me just make some general comments off the top. Anybody who maybe is not up to speed on what's going on here, what the claims are, I'll give a little bit of background, and then I'll talk about some of these issues. The so-called Talpiot tomb in East Jerusalem was discovered actually in 1980, which means 27 years ago, or going on 27 years ago, this has been discovered, and it's been in the news for a long time. Now, especially in the 90s, there's not a whole lot of research and discussion that went on before the 90s, but beginning in the 90s, Israeli archaeologists got involved. The tomb was the ossuaries from the tomb. Let me just stop there for a moment. Ossuaries are so-called bone boxes. The majority view among the Jews of this day, there are other views, but the majority view was that of bodily resurrection. And so they would treat the body very seriously. And after individuals were buried in tombs or wherever their family buried them, a year or so later, people would come back and take the bones, gather them after the flesh was gone, and they would put the bones. Now, sometimes there were little particles, and hence that's some of the material that could be DNA'd. But for the most part, it was just bones that were reburied in these little bone boxes. And they might only be 18, 20, 21 inches long enough for the longest bone, and maybe a foot off the ground and less than that wide, and there would be a top on this little tiny stone casket, if you will. Sometimes they were ornate, and you can see any number of ones or photographs of them that are very ornate. About 25% of the tombs have names on them. Now, just short of 1,000 tombs, 1,000 ossuaries have been discovered. And so if you have 20-something percent of names, and sometimes there's more than one name, we'll argue that one of the latest finds is that one of these tombs, one of the ossuaries in the Talpiot tomb has more than one name, not counting the son of names. But because there was son of and so on, you would have more names on those 25% of the ossuaries. Now, the Talpiot claim was actually made it onto the airwaves in 1996. The British Broadcasting Corporation released a documentary. And they, worked with some of the archaeologists and so on. And why is this tomb of interest? Well, of the 10 ossuaries that were found, and then one later so-called lost, so of the 9 remaining ossuaries, 6 of them have names. 2 of them have son of names, Jesus, son of Joseph, and Judah, son of Jesus. There's another ossuary, as I said, there, that's not so obviously having two names, but that's one of the recent conclusions that's come out in the last week. So there's several people. And I should add here that these tombs in which the ossuaries are found, they are extended family, so you could be buried with aunts and uncles and cousins, and they were multi-generational. So when you get extended tombs times multi-generational, there's no way to just look at names and say, oh, they must have lived together or a few years apart. You could be dealing with an aunt or an uncle from 40 years, 60 years previously. And so just because names are around, and even if they're in close proximity, we're not talking here about any evidence that these folks are husband, wife, or whatever. Now, one other factor, besides extended tombs and besides multi-generational, a third factor is that very frequently these ossuaries have more than one person buried in them. I've seen two reports in the last week of ossuaries holding as many as six individuals in one ossuary. The famous Caiaphas ossuary contains the remains of more than one person. And so when you're getting in there and you start talking DNA or you start talking identification, you have a literally, in some of these cases, a pile of bones, and you can't always tell who's who. Now, what interests folks in the Talpiot tomb is the name cluster of these six names. You have a Maria or Mary. You have a very enigmatic person who's getting a lot of attention. 2 weeks ago, she was called Mariamne. Now she's being called other names. That the name really isn't Mariamne, but Mariamne, and that there's actually two people buried in that tomb. More about that in a moment. So two women, and then four men. And those four men are Jesus, son of Joseph, Judah, son of Jesus, Yossi, which is generally believed to be a shortened form or nickname of Joseph and is so entered in the scholarly works on Jewish graves and so on. And we have a Matthew. So Matthew, Yossi, Joseph, Jesus, and Judah, if we include all the names, the sons of. Now, if we assume that the Jesus mentioned twice in the tomb is the same person, and that's not required, I mean, we're going to see the name Jesus is a very common name, and there are, after all, I mean, at least there are thought by some to be two Marys in the tomb, two Josephs in the tomb by others. You could have two Jesuses in the tomb. But if we reasonably infer that the Jesus here of the Talpiot tomb is the same person in both instances, you have a brief family tree that you can construct, assuming you take at face value the names of the ossuaries. And what you have then is a Joseph, whose son is Jesus, whose son is Judah. And all the other talk about, well, look, here's a Mary over here, or this may be his brother, or this may be a disciple, or another family member, there's no way to connect them, given that the DNA didn't do that. But all the hullabaloo a couple weeks ago was basically, first of all, was shock. We have a Jesus ossuary here. And this Jesus ossuary is Jesus, the son of Joseph. So prima facie, this was thought to be very, very special. And again, this is for an audience. You know, we got some filmmakers putting this together and did a very good job with the film side of this. But these aren't people who specialize in this, and we'll give some statistics in a few minutes. But this name cluster is neither the names nor the cluster is evidential of anything. But besides the name cluster, two of the things that got a lot of attention on the discovery program is that, secondly, DNA. And here's the way it was advertised originally. Yes, the BBC did this 11-ish years ago, but now we have DNA. Almost as if to say, we've got the magic criterion to end all criteria, and we've got the be-all, end-all test of identification. We've got the smoking gun, because for many Americans, DNA is the test, and we've got it. So that's the second claim. One is a cluster of names, two is DNA, and then they employed the services of a University of Toronto specialist in math, a mathematician, to do probability studies. And he concluded that there was one chance in 600 that this is not Jesus' tomb. In other words, 599 to 1, this is Jesus' tomb. So as I see it, the three bombastic parts of this are, first of all, a name cluster. Doesn't this look like Jesus' family prima facie? Secondly, we have DNA. Thirdly, with the combination, we run these numbers, we have a statistician here, we have an archaeologist here, and so on. And we put all these things together, and what we have from this is a 599 chance to one that this is the tomb of Jesus. So, of course, this is going to be the claim that that we have the Holy Family and we have Jesus' bones. And then when you check this out on the Discovery Channel, one of the more bombastic and discussed claims is that, you know, we're not going after Christians. Christians can still believe whatever they want to. This is not about going after Jesus, because if you want to, you can still believe in the resurrection of Jesus. You can still believe in the resurrection. But you just can't, I mean, it presumably is tough to believe in bodily resurrection, because after all, we have his bones and his body was rotted. So this is sort of setting the table. Now, what I'd like to do tonight is make a dozen odd critiques. I have a few others to give along the way. But I'm using a list that Ben Witherington and I actually edited and put out the very first Sunday night, I think, before this whole story broke, the week before the Discovery tomb came out. There was a news meeting the previous week, the Monday of the week before that Sunday that the Discovery Channel came out. And the night before, Ben and I released a news item, and we had 10 critiques. I've kind of edited them to 12, and you can come up with many, many more. But the first two concern this cluster of names argument. Don't these names look very, very strange? Even the Holy Family. Now, at this point, I'm not going to discuss the DNA or the statistics. I just want to talk about this cluster of names in this tomb. What is the chance that these people could be together? Now, and one more time, let me just repeat the names that are here. You have a Jesus, son of Joseph, a Yossi, which short for Joseph, Judas, son of Jesus, Matthias, and a Mary, and then originally reported a second Mary, which has now been severely questioned, that if indeed that is a second a Mary. All right, let's just talk about the cluster per se. Jesus and Joseph, and then along with Mary, no way to connect Mary here, but in this tomb. But Jesus and Joseph, Jesus, the son of Joseph. Jesus and Joseph are two of the most common names in the ancient Jewish world. Sometimes the statistics that we have, the names, the likelihoods, are a little bit different when we produce names. But according to one study, 14% of all Jewish males were named Joseph. 14%. We have 45 ossuaries with the name Joseph on the ossuaries, at least 45. Jesus, 9% of Jewish males are named Jesus. And we have 22 ossuaries with the name Jesus on it. So if we just take these ossuaries at face value, what we have here is we have 45 Joseph ossuaries, 22 Jesus ossuaries. Now, how about Jesus, son of Joseph? I mean, aren't we getting closer to home there? Well, according to Amos Cloner, the chief Israeli archaeologist who got these, actually 10, all 10 ossuaries out of the Talpiot tomb in the first place. According to Cloner, he said, and so do others over there in Israel, they'll say, if you just walked into a crowd in Israel and said, how many of you are Joseph, how many of you are Jesus, there's going to be a lot of hands raised. But we actually have the name Jesus show up 99 times minimum in the ancient world. And as I said, on 22 ossuaries, and nobody's shaking their heads and saying, wow, look how many Jesuses there are, how many Josephs. But Kloner also said that we have three or four ossuaries so far with Jesus, son of Joseph. Three or four ossuaries so far with Jesus, son of Joseph. Now, I'm going to come back to this. Now, one of the claims of the Discovery Channel special, and Cameron and Jacob Vesey, the movie producers, who have come out with a book now and have made the claims, one of them is that this is a tomb for which there would be, you know, nothing like it. This is a very, very strange tomb that the catalog of names alone is enough to say we've got something very, very odd, once in a lifetime. But here's one thing that's come out in the last week. We have another tomb, just to show you that these names and conglomerations are not very odd. Here's some facts for you. We have another tomb from the Mount of Olives with 40 inscribed ossuaries. Folks, this is huge. I mean, we have six inscribed ossuaries from Talpiot. But in a tomb from the Mount of Olives, we have 40 inscribed ossuaries, including the following names: Mary, Martha, Matthew, Joseph, and Jesus. Now, my point is, if this Talpiot linking is a huge one in a lifetime, never anything like it, etc., etc., how come we have another one from the area with almost the same number of names? And this was just noised yesterday by Michael Heiser of PhD of Logos Bible Software. He just sent a report around about this tomb from the Mount of Olives. And this is not cataloged, he says, as far as he knows. It's not in the main catalog. Why? Because most likely it wasn't one of the ones that the Israeli government investigated. But here is a tomb with some of these names. All right, you say, well, yeah, there's a Joseph and a Jesus in that tomb, but how about Jesus, son of Joseph? I mean, how about that? All right, let's talk about all the names for just a moment. Joseph is arguably different names, different lists, different percentages. But the name Joseph is said to be as high as the second most common male name. The second most common male name on one list that just came out this week from Stephen Fan. It is the second most common name, and Mary is 21 to 25% of Jewish women were named Mary. So Mary is the most common name, although on one list she's second to Salome. But still, Mary is the most common or very, very close to that most common female name. Joseph is second. And among the male names, Jesus is somewhere between second and sixth on these lists. And of all the ossuaries that have been discovered, under 1,000, of those, Stephen Fan tells us the following statistics. And you'll find these in other places too. There are only 72 Jewish names represented among all the personal names found on 25% of the almost 1,000 ossuaries. In other words, 25% of the ossuaries have names on them, and only 72 different Jewish names appear. That's because there's not the wide range of names in that culture that we have in our culture today. So if you can picture, 286 personal names are found in these ossuaries, 286 names. There's only 72 different names. Of those 72 different names, 16 of the 72 names account for 75% of the inscribed names on the ossuaries. Let me say that again. Of the 72 different Jewish names of all the ossuaries, 72 different names, only 16 of them represent 75% of all the names. And let me remind you that the names Joseph, Mary, all the brothers of Jesus, listed according to the Gospels, Jacob, James, or Joseph, Simon, and Judas, all of those names, the four brothers, the mother and father, all four names are among the 16 names which are most common. So in other words, what I'm saying is there is not a name in the family of Jesus that is an odd or rare name. In the Discovery Special and in the talk before and after, we hear this Beatles illustration. You know, nobody jumps if you talk about three guys, John, Paul, and George. But Ringo immediately tells you it's a group of four. Well, sorry, but there's no giveaway name like that in Jesus' family. Once again, the names are Joseph, Mary, Jacob or James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. There are no names there that are not highly common. All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about this. How common are these? Yesterday, a statistician came out with a reworked report. His name is Randy Ingermanson, and he has done a revised statistical look at the men of Jerusalem at this time. Now let's go back and think about some of the ossuaries. The ossuaries are kept for about 100 years, give or take. They're kept for about 100 years. So we want to know how many people lived in Jerusalem during this period of 100 years. How many of those people were males, obviously. How many of them are named Joseph? How many of them are named Jesus? And how many of them would be Jesus's whose father is Joseph? Very relevant question. If we're going to say the family in the Talpiot tomb is very similar to the Jesus family, how many men in Jerusalem would stand up when you said Joseph? How many men would stand up when you said Jesus? And how many would say, how many of the Jesuses would say, Joseph is my father? That's the question. Over an 80-year period, because once again, that's the period of time that these ossuaries are buried. That's the ossuary give and take period. And it ended, by the way, just before the fall of Jerusalem at the hands of the Romans in 70 AD.